As I was kind of praying and getting ready for today, yes, I was thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to go from the introduction into the topic? And I thought, oh, I just need to split it up. And so just to give a bit of context to where we're going to be heading in the coming weeks. It's been interesting over the last couple of weeks, the teaching we've had, because actually we've kind of felt that actually it flows really well into some of, I think, what will come out of some of these I'm so over it topics. And as I said last week, you know, being so over it is kind of this phrase that we often hear in modern life to mean we're kind of done with something, particularly when stuff's going badly. We might be so over a relationship or a job we're bored with, or, you know, in many of our cases, we're over this pandemic. Or it might just be plain and simple, we've had enough of life and what it's giving us at the moment. And again, you know, over many times, and particularly probably around about November last year, I was just like, right, come on, we don't need this COVID thing anymore. I'm like absolutely fed up to the back teeth with it. And I think we can probably all say that at some point we've been a bit like that, and weariness has kicked in, or just being generally done with this long haul thing we're in. And again, before Christmas, of course, with the Omicron thing, it was just like that realisation, oh my goodness, we are still not done with this yet, and there's much to navigate. And what I think you guys need to sort of, I suppose, go on this journey with is this is stuff, and again, Rich alluded to this the other week when he preached, is where God's speaking to us personally about these things. We're living it. It's not just we're throwing a bit of teaching out there because it kind of is nice and it's biblical and scriptural. It's actually these are things that we are actually having to journey through in our own personal walks. And that's really good. And again, Dave Mitchell last week when he was talking about prayer, clearly, you know, some of what he was sharing was coming out of a journey that he has personally been on. So I'd just like to encourage you with that. And for me, in that place that I found myself in back in November, when I was just like, oh, I'm just right, let's just move on from this, is that I needed, and again, it was one, there was a week, and I was just like full of worry, which is not my natural kind of way of looking at life. And there's been a few times over the course of the last couple of years where I have been quite anxious and I have been quite worried. And the way that this sort of manifests itself in me, and it has done a couple of times, I get this funny vertigo-y thing. Just for, it doesn't last long, but it kind of is it's a stress-related thing, and it kind of comes out. And I was worried about that. I was starting to say, oh my gosh, can I do another lockdown? Because there was talks of lockdowns and all that thing. And, you know, and that's not to say we, you know, had bad times. As you know, we've had some really positive times over the last couple of years, but I think, can I do another lockdown? What's going to happen about Christmas? All of these things, because we had done, you know, we had made plans, and I let worry kind of overwhelm me. Not for long though, because actually what I had to do in that moment was I had to choose to worship over worry, and was able to get back into that place using worship to really just get me into a good place. And apparently, and again, and I never knew this, and it came through in a song that I've been listening to a lot called Gratitude by Brandon Lake. I'd highly recommend you having a listen to it. Is that worry and thankfulness can't exist at the same time in your brain? Apparently it uses different parts of your brain, which I found really, really interesting, actually. So in that moment where I chose to worship and be thankful for what I had, worry could no longer exist in the place where I was at. So that is just a little bit of, I suppose, personal testimony and how I've had to choose a God thing over a thing that could have very much consumed me and kept me off track. And if we want to be a people in 2022 that overcomes in the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to make those God choices. God choices that bring freedom, life, focus on truth. We need to choose one thing or another to advance the kingdom. And there's a verse in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, and this is from The Message. And it says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I place before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life, so that you and your children will live and love God, your God, listening obediently to him, firmly embracing him. And what this reminded me of is actually we have choice. We do have free will to choose what to do. Even when it feels like we're out of control or we're powerless and it feels like we have no choice. We have choice. And I think we have to remember that when we are in tricky situations. We have a choice to move our thinking and our perspective from one thing to another. And then lastly, in Joshua 24 and verse 15, and this is in the English Standard Version, it says, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in those in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So Lord, I just thank you for this new season of teaching, Lord, where you are going to help us to choose your way over the way of this world, your way over the things that might consume us, whether that is fear or despair or just being too comfortable in where we're at the moment, Lord. Whatever it may be over these coming weeks, Lord, I pray that you will open our hearts to choose well and to shift our perspective to enable change to come. Lord, as we worship today, Lord, I thank you that you are amongst us, and by your Holy Spirit, you are going to lead us into your presence. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, so here we go with our first over subject. And we're going to be looking at faith over fear. And it's, again, really encouraging to hear Rich sort of focus on the unseen, because I think that's really important for this journey that we'll go on. What I want to just be really clear about is when we're talking about fear here, I'm not talking about worry or anxiety. You know, worry is defined as to feel or have cause to feel anxious or troubled about actual or potential problems. I'm not talking about that. I think probably worry and anxiety are a byproduct of fear, but that's not what we're talking about here. And I'm not talking about, and again, when I've looked at kind of fear and what it is, those kind of irrational fears, I had to think, oh, what are some of my kind of irrational fears? So going to the dentist. Your hands up, who's one of them? Oh, yeah, anything to do with that, that just is horrendous. And then Nikki will remember this. I used to have a dreadful fear of walking through our park. I was convinced I was going to get attacked by a dog, and not just any dogs. This was Staffordshire Bull Terrier. So, again, very particular. It was Staffordshire Bull Terriers, and they were going to attack me. And I used to walk around our park because I didn't like doing that. And actually, I've overcome that very irrational fear, not only because we've got a dog now, but actually I had to kind of force myself to kind of deal with that. So, irrational fears are interesting, aren't they? Because these are kind of fears of things that compel us to avoid situations, even though they might not be inherently really, really dangerous to us. So I'm not talking about that. And it made me think of, we used to sing a song way back when, and it was a children's song, and it said, "I once was frightened of spiders." Remember that one? Quality tune. So we're not talking about that, because I don't believe that we have spiders in this country that are going to eat us and kill us. Possibly not. Yeah. Elsewhere. Dave would say otherwise. That's his irrational fear. Spiders being above him in the bedroom that are going to come down and whatever. So we're not talking about that. So what we're really talking about here is fear and being defined as an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain or harm. And this is that thing where, you know, there is that real threat and we feel like we have to protect ourselves. And I had to have a real think about the times in my life where I have genuinely been in fear based on that definition. And there are three things. One of them is probably slightly irrational, actually, but who can argue? So many, many years ago in my first job, I was a bank clerk for what was then the Bristol and West. I worked over in Bedminster, and we were subject to an armed robbery one day. That was pretty scary. I would say, you know, having a sawn-off shotgun pointed in your face was pretty horrendous. And again, it was a moment in time and it was all very quick and nobody got hurt. But that was a time I can remember I was genuinely in fear.
The second time was when Freddie was born, and many of you will know that he was diagnosed with a heart condition when he was born. So having to send your baby off for surgery, for heart surgery, at 4 days old, that was pretty scary. But God, you know, God's been in control, and yeah, he's got an appointment this week and keeps going for appointments. But he's, you know, praise God, we walked through that. And then the last one, and some of you will really laugh at this one, was when I did the leap of faith at Go Ape. I think this is somewhere in between rational and irrational fear. But I was just convinced something really, really bad would happen. I suppose it could have if the thing had have... And again, that was horrendous in my mind. And I think that was probably somewhere in between. And yeah, won't be doing that one again. But and again, what I don't want to do today is focus on what fear can do to us. And I think some of those things are probably a bit like, you know, when I talked about doubt at Christmas. So if you want to have a listen to that, fear can do some of those things to us. I really want to just focus on how we kind of counteract being in that place of fear to getting into a place of faith. And for all you theologians out there, I'm not even going to touch on the fear of the Lord, because that's a different thing for a different day and will get us into all kinds of rabbit holes. So this is all about that shifting of our perspective and thinking to trust fully in him and who we are in him. And again, we need to learn to live comfortably, and Rich has alluded to this already, and I think this is important for us for this year, to live comfortably with what we can't see and believe and trust that God is for us and will watch over us no matter what. And that's really difficult when we're in this place of fear. That's really difficult in that brief moment where we were under, you know, I was part of that armed robbery. It was really difficult when Freddie was wheeled off for surgery. But why do we need to do that? And again, my scriptures today are largely from the Passion Translation. So if I don't say they're from the Passion Translation, they're from somewhere else, okay? And I'll let you know that. And again, I would really recommend the Passion Translation as a version if you haven't got it or access to it. Really use it, actually. It's really, it's just quite enlightening, actually, some of the ways that it brings out scripture. But in Proverbs 3 and verse 26, and this is the Passion Translation, it says, "Because God is your confidence in times of crisis, keeping your heart at rest in every situation." And that's really important, isn't it? In times when we are scared and genuinely feeling that danger, pain or harm will come, we need to know that God will keep us at rest in every situation. And as I've kind of gone through this journey of thinking about fear and faith, I've kind of recognised a bit of a tension in some of these scriptures. And again, it's come out of something that came out in Rich's preach about we need to be seeing possibilities. And then in our small group the other week, Sue brought a wonderful song about anything being possible. And we kind of throw that scripture around, don't we? The Mark 9:23 thing. And we go, yeah, anything is possible. All things are possible with God. And then in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." And I think what we do sometimes with that Mark scripture is we kind of forget the bit that comes before it that says, if among believers. So if you believe, then anything is possible. And if you haven't got faith, it is impossible to please God. So the having faith and believing is an answer to pleasing God. And that's where the possible is released, in believing and having faith. And that has come out already this morning, and what Rich shared at the beginning, is that we need to get to that place of having faith and believing. That's what ultimately pleases God. And again, there's a tension, isn't there? Because we tend to kind of throw these scriptures around sometimes without, again, the context of where they sit. So how do I choose faith when I'm in the place of fear? And again, for me, as I've prayed about this and I thought about this, it'd be really easy to just do a walk through scripture, wouldn't it? And go, oh, in the Bible it says da-da-da-da-da and all the rest of it. But for me, choosing faith rests in the simplicity of getting into the presence of God, which is really difficult when you're in these genuinely fearful places where, you know, stuff is going on and it's really pretty serious. But as you intentionally do this in normal life and increase your proximity to him in your normal life, shut out the noise and the distractions that surround you, you'll be ready when those fearful times come, because they will come. You know, I don't think anybody will go through life not having a situation where they are genuinely in fear. And in doing that, huge benefits come. If you're able to do that and walk closely with God, huge, it's just huge. And it says, doesn't it, in Psalm 34 and verse 4 in the ESV, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. So the seeking him and being with him comes first, and probably in all things, not just being fearful. So how do we increase that closeness to him? And again, I think it's a combination of things. And we just need to note these things are activities that require action. They're not just kind of things that we put over there and we go, oh, they're nice. You have to do something. And they're really central to how we journey and develop our relationship with Jesus and ultimately surrender to him. So I've got three things about getting into the presence of God. Number one, we need to get into the Word. What do I mean for that? That means reading, studying, memorising, meditating on the Word of God, the Bible. And there's always that you can do that. And this will be really different for everybody, depending on where they're at in their journey, where they're at in their life stage, and all of the rest of it. But we have to realise that that takes time, requires discipline, but it should really, really be the focal point of our lives. In Proverbs 4, verses 21 to 22, it says, fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. I think it's helpful, again, when you're in a situation, if you're in a scary situation, to use parallels in Scripture that can speak into your situation. So which characters in the Bible have been through what you are going through? What happened? What does the Bible say about fear? And how does God see fear? Again, and as I said, memorising Scripture so you can call it to mind the next time you're in that situation and you can remember what God did. So thinking about fear and what the Bible says about it, in 2 Timothy and 1:7, it says, for God will never give you a spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love and self-control. So there is no fear in God. He won't give you that spirit of fear. And then in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, it says, do not yield to fear, for I am always near. Never turn your gaze from me, for I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength and help you in every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand. And again, and as I was looking at that scripture, I was thinking, do not yield to fear. That's a bit of a strange one. And again, and this is where you would use the Word of God and maybe use some different translations to help you understand what that means. And I thought, I'm just going to have a look in the Message because that's pretty straight talking. And it was, don't panic, I'm with you. Nice, yeah. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength, I'll help you. I'll hold you steady and keep a firm grip on you. That is, you know, an example just of how you would use Scripture in your situation. And again, that it's different things for different people, but I would tend to do that. I would tend to see what God says about it and see where in Scripture there's been something similar or a story where somebody has overcome. And then secondly, and again, this has been really important to me, as I mentioned earlier, worship. And I think worship is a key to a lot of things, actually, because this is where we really do focus on what our declaration is. These aren't just songs. These are declarations of who God is and what he has done and what he is going to do, but also the opportunity to be still and know him as God. I have to be careful in worship that I get the right balance between being up there somewhere and being down there, and I'm learning. It's a journey, and it's quite funny because I was just as I was thinking about this, as I was sitting there. Obviously, many of you will have known that. Obviously, Meatloaf died this week. Well, Meatloaf was the anthem to my youth and my student days. So, I put that on very loud. This, you know, just as a bit of an RIP. So we've been having, but again, and then I tend to do that. I will tend to go up there, but then I'm learning, actually, sometimes I need to come down here and just be still and know him in my situation, in my fear as God. So again, whether it's loud or quiet, worship is the place where we truly turn our eyes to Jesus. We look up. We all know that song. And we shouldn't underestimate the chain-breaking nature of our worship when we take our focus off ourselves and our fears and then surrender them in worship to his lordship. You know, and our example in scripture is David, isn't it, in the Psalms, who was able to somehow, in all seasons of life, look heavenwards. In Psalm 145, verses 3 to 6, we hear him declaring, "Lord, you are great and worthy of the highest praise, for there is no one, no end to the discovery of the greatness that surrounds you. Generation after generation will declare more of your greatness and declare more of your glory. Your magnificent splendour and the miracles of your majesty are my constant meditation. Your awe-inspiring acts of power has everyone talking, and I'm telling people everywhere about your excellent greatness." Clearly he was in a good place there and was just, you know, in full kind of declaring God's greatness and goodness and the things that he had done. But then on the flip side, in Psalm 46, we see this call to pause in God's presence. And it says, "Surrender your anxiety, be still and realise that I am God. I am God above all the nations, and I am exalted throughout the whole earth." In that psalm, there's loads of stuff going on, and then there's these moments of pause through it where there's that kind of call to come back and be quiet before the Lord and know him as God. And then number three, prayer. So we've had word, worship, and number three is prayer. And again, we're hearing a lot about the importance of prayer already this year. Richard mentioned it, Dave Mitchell mentioned it. Jonathan, in a session that we had the other day, we asked him, "What can we do for you? You can pray for me." Prayer is significant to who we are. And again, not just corporately, but individually. And I'm not just talking about the asking and the petitioning and the loud stuff. I'm talking about the listening. And again, I think we've had a bit of focus on that, getting into the place where we're really listening and hearing what God's heart is. In Proverbs 1 and verse 33, it says, "But the one who always listens to me will live undisturbed in a heavenly peace, free from fear, confident and courageous. That one will rest unafraid and sheltered from the storms of life." How important is it in that place of fear, where we feel that everything is crushing down, where we're in harm or we're in danger or whatever it may be, how wonderful is it to listen to the one who will give us undisturbed heavenly peace so we can rest unafraid? Again, one of the things I noticed when I was having that sort of moment of worry, anxiety, although it wasn't fear, is that my rest was pretty disturbed. So actually, there is something about getting into God's presence so that we can be undisturbed. And what we need to do in this place of prayer, and I think this is really, really important, and again, I think sometimes just the nature of this world is, we need to be like really consistent, but also we need to be persistent until there's breakthrough. We can't just sometimes throw these prayers around, don't we, or sit for 5 minutes and think, well, that's kind of done. But we need to persist in prayer until we see breakthrough and resolution, and so that there is a testimony of God's goodness at the end of it. And again, as a small group, we have seen that when we have persisted in prayer over things, and things that are, you know, pretty significant in people's lives, it's been amazing as we have kept on and we've been faithful to praying these things, and we've committed to doing the same this year. And we have testimonies of God's goodness and how he's come through in these situations, and that builds faith the next time when we're in a situation, or we get to help someone because we've got a story to tell of how God's brought us through and has been faithful. And again, all of these things, so worship, word and prayer, are not going to necessarily sort the situation out immediately, because some situations do take time. Yes, he can do it immediately, of course he can. But ordinarily, it's a process, isn't it, that we have to walk through. But the key is shifting our focus onto the one who does calm the storms. So that's the choice, isn't it, is where are you looking to receive your peace? And I'm not talking about, we used to say, oh, name it and claim it, didn't we, all of that kind of back in the day. It's not about that. It's about using scripture, worship and the word to speak into what we're going through to bring life and freedom. And to be able to speak about what he's done, which might not be the outcome that we were probably looking for in our kind of practical, God's going to solve it this way. This is about seeing the unseen, actually, isn't it? Because, you know, I can solve things, you know, in my own lunchtime kind of thing. But actually, God might want to do something really, really different. And again, Richard spoke about this, about speaking into situations that, yeah, we might not see the outcome out of it. The mountain is high. We can't see over the other side, but we have to have faith that God is going to do something. And we have to have faith that whatever he does will be good and for our benefit, however that looks. Again, there's that scripture, isn't there, in Revelation 12. It said, they conquered him completely through the blood of the Lamb and the powerful word of his testimony. They triumphed because they didn't love and cling to their own lies, even when faced with death. So faced with those fearful situations that we're going through, if we trust in him and completely trust in what Jesus has done for us on the cross, our testimony is what will just shine through. So just thinking about, I suppose, a bit of a conclusion to this. So choosing faith over fear means choosing to use scripture and the promises of God to guide you and build your faith and trust in him. It means choosing to worship, to declare truth, but also to rest in who he is. It means choosing to pray. And again, not just the petition, but a whole lot of listening for his voice and his view of the world. And again, it's just amazing how just God is moving us and speaking to us time. Choosing to have faith is about learning to live in the unseen and the uncertain, seeing beyond the mountain of fear and to see the possibilities in the heavenly and spiritual realms. And again, as I said, the outcome might not be what we want in the natural, but God's ways are best. We know it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we live by faith and not what we see with our eyes. And that's the shift, isn't it? Is that shift from what we can see is going on in our space to what we can't see. Brené Brown, one of my favourite authors, and I've quoted her many times, says, faith is a place of mystery where we find courage to believe in what we cannot see and the strength to let go of our fear of uncertainty. And a lot of the time when we're scared about stuff, it's because we can't see the outcome, we think it's going to be bad, you know, and yet sometimes stuff is bad, but there will be good that comes out of the bad and a story to tell. I think there is this place, and Dave Mitchell mentioned to this about, he talked about discipline and training, didn't he? We need sometimes, when we're trying to get from that place of being scared to trusting in God, we need help in our unbelief, don't we? Help me in my unbelief. Is what we say, you know. And the way you do that is, yeah, it takes a bit of graft, but you need to get people around you to help you to do that, to encourage you, to pray for you, but also take time yourself to get in the word, worship, pray, do whatever it might be. Christine Kane, who is a slightly famous, I suppose, famous, I don't like using the word famous, well-known speaker, American, very good, and has written a lot of books. She said, I'm full of faith and hope going into 2022. And I think actually a lot of us are feeling that sense of actually hope and faith for what is going to come in this year. She said, I feel there's been a shift. I thought, yeah, actually, I can feel that. Okay, probably didn't feel that in November as we were, you know, I was in that place of worry. But actually, it feels like things are shifting. I said, you don't have to see it to know it. It's just that sense that, yeah, things are changing. And she says, faith is not blind optimism or ignorant delusion. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. And she says, and she's obviously talking about in the leadership context, it takes courage to lead with a spirit of faith in these times. And I think probably as the church and as followers of Jesus, it does take courage to live in faith when so much is going on around us. And then finally, President Franklin Roosevelt famously said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." I mean, obviously, you've got to fear the Lord as well, but that's a different thing. But what he, I think kind of the heart of what I'm trying to get to, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. So just leave those few thoughts with you there. And again, I haven't done that full study on what the Bible says about fear and what God says about it and da-da-da-da-da. Because actually, through word, worship and prayer, you will find that place of faith and trust in him, and you will overcome in your situations.